Our State Capitol Report continues in this half hour with a look at the need for election observers. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Monday, October 15th. Our guest for this half hour is Andrea Kaminsky. She is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is an election observer?
An election observer is somebody who does just that, observes the election, watches to see that the polls are open on time, that the process is moving forward smoothly and fairly, and notes problems as they go along.
Well, what are they? Every poll everywhere in Wisconsin needs one or two observers?
It would be great if that happened, but there are thousands of polling places in Wisconsin, and some have observers who are placed by the parties. Some have observers who are placed by other organizations. Actually, anybody may be an observer. The polls are open to monitoring as part of the state's open meetings law.
So if there are so many parties and other organizations that are lining up election observers, why are you also, the League of Women Voters, trying to line up election observers?
Well, the League has a position that goes back 92 years to our founding in 1920 when the 19th Amendment was passed to allow women to vote. We have had a position that that voting is a fundamental citizen right which must be guaranteed. And we don't have a stake in the outcome of the election. The League is a nonpartisan organization that never endorsed or opposes any political party or candidate. And but we are very concerned that people have the opportunity to vote, that elections be fair, and that nobody be turned away at the polls inappropriately.
So who can be an election observer?
Actually, pretty much anybody can be an election observer. And what you do is you go to the polls, you follow rules that are put in place to keep elections smooth, running smoothly, and you go to the polling place, you check in with the chief inspector, who is the top poll worker there, and then they will tell you where to stand, and you are given rules that, you're not allowed to speak to the voters. You're not allowed to speak to the other election workers other than the chief inspector. Your job is to observe so that we have transparency and honesty in our elections. It is not to disrupt.
Well, so I presume there's some sort of training that goes along with this, or do you just read the rules once you show up?
Well, certainly the League of Women Voters trains our observers. We offer online training and in which we teach them about the rules for election observers and what their role in the election is. And then we also train them in some of the aspects of Wisconsin election law and some of the areas of concern that we have where things to watch for.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of those areas of concern? What do you want them to be watching for?
Well, the biggest thing is we want them to be watching for any signs that people who are qualified citizens are being turned away from the polls and not getting that opportunity to vote. That's our main thing. But we also watch to be sure that that the polls start on time, that they're adequately staffed, that people are not confused, they get in the right line, whether they're registering at the polls, which is wonderful, or voting.
So you say, though, that an observer cannot really talk to election workers or voters if an observer observes that somebody is being turned away at the polls for a reason that's not legitimate. You just stand by and observe that, or do you try to intervene?
Well, for our observers, they have an election protection hotline, which actually any voter may call if there's a problem. That's 866-OUR-VOTE. 866-OUR-VOTE, and I can't tell you what the numbers are on that right now. But our observers also have another line that goes straight to lawyers with the Wisconsin Election Protection Coalition, who are experts in Wisconsin election law, and they can assist them. But really, the first step is to talk to the chief inspector. And see if you can resolve the problem right there. But if that doesn't work, then we have this hotline.
Mm-hmm. So how do I sign up?
Well, you go to the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin website. It's lwvwi.org, and there is an online sign-up form there. You don't have to be a league member to be an LWV election observer. And what we've found is that we've had people in cities, villages, and towns across the state in polling places. In the June 5th recall election, we had 160 volunteers out there. And they covered a total of 410 polling places and really gave a good picture of what was happening there on the polls from a nonpartisan perspective. They were not there with a stake in the outcome.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more about what they observed and how you used those observation results in just a few minutes. But anybody who wants to be an election observer can be. Do you have to be there all day? Is there any other qualifications that one needs?
If you can be there for a few hours, that gives a pretty good snapshot of what's happening. And I should say that while the League is a nonpartisan organization, it's pretty hard to find 160 people across the state of Wisconsin these days who don't have any kind of political perspective if they're interested in government at all. However, what we ask people to do is set that partisan self aside for a few hours while you're in the polls and just look at the process and see how it's going.
Mm-hmm. So just you can sign up online.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or you could call the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin.
Well, we will certainly provide a link to your website on the Joy Jardine Show Facebook page. And you can get a hold of us on Facebook as well if you have a question or a thought about the need for election observers. And we wonder, have you ever been an election observer? Tell us about your experiences, or if you have any questions for our guest, Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking our weather forecast for today, becoming mostly sunny and cool. Highs today will be in the 50s. Increasing clouds tonight with lows in the low to mid 40s. And tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for showers. Highs tomorrow mainly in the 60s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up tomorrow night, the second presidential debate, we will be carrying that live on the Ideas Network. And then on Wednesday morning at this time, we'll have a couple of different guests talking about the most significant highlights or lowlights from the presidential debate. We will be in Milwaukee on location doing a live broadcast on Wednesday morning, so you can see the show. If you're in the Milwaukee area, you can come to the Pabst Theater. We'll be in the Pabst Theater Pub. Sounds fun. At 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 until 9, the Joy Jardine Show will be live on location, and the Kathleen Dunn Show will also be live on location from 9 until 11. So during our 7 o'clock hour, we will be talking with two regular guests, Owen Robinson and Ed Falone, two guests from different political perspectives, giving us their take on the presidential debate from the night before. So I hope you will join us in Milwaukee on location on Wednesday morning. Right now we are talking with Andrea Kaminsky. She is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin, talking about election observers. So she is telling us how you can be an election observer at Wisconsin polling places in November, and why such observers are needed. And I'm wondering, Andrea, you said that you did do this on June 5th. That was the recall election. Was there a lot of, were there problems that were observed?
Yes, the our observers reported problems, especially with the proof of residence for people who wanted to register at the polls. There was confusion by voters and election officials alike who weren't sure what kind of documentation was acceptable and what wasn't. We also saw that the new law that does not allow people to corroborate each other's residence was a real problem. There was a case of a young man who wanted to vote. He had been living with somebody else in a community. The chief inspector actually had hired him a few times to shovel her driveway, but he did not have that documentary proof of residence that he needed, and he could not vote.
And no longer can someone vouch for someone else.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. Nobody else, and for instance, if I had an 18-year-old son, I couldn't bring him to the polls. You know, he might not have a proof of residence. He doesn't have a utility bill, whatever. And I can't take him to the polls and sign an affidavit saying that I know who he is and that he lives at my address. That can no longer be done. And that was a real problem for a lot of people.
Yeah. So will there be any changes as a result of this being observed?
Well, for some things, there have been changes. We have shared our reports with state and local election officials, and in general, have been very welcoming of them. And they've made changes. They wanted to know what did we find in their district, and they have made changes as a result. And I know that the GAB not only as a result of our report, but the GAB has introduced a back to basics program because they knew that there, with all the changes in election law and so many elections, a lot of election officials, a lot of poll workers were not quite sure about all of the procedures. So they've really been focusing on getting every poll worker on the right page for November 6th.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the what has been observed and some of the rules, some of the election laws, and in just a minute. But we do have some callers, including Jane in Harshaw. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not sure I know where Harshaw is.
Harshaw is 16 miles west of Rhinelander.
All right, now I do. Okay. So it says here you were an observer.
Oh, I've been an observer a couple of times, and Andrea and I have gotten to know each other pretty well during the process. And I just wanted to call in and say that it was and will continue to be one of the most interesting, growing, rewarding experiences that I've done in the last several years.
Oh, what made it so rewarding?
Well, I had the opportunity to learn from a nonpartisan point of view about one of our most basic fundamental rights. And how it gets played out, and the hard work that people do in the polling places, not as observers, but as poll workers, but also the confusion and the importance of really having an understanding of the information. I learned about the people that were most disenfranchised, which to me, watching the polls, were the elderly, the homeless, and that's a big issue with our residency establishing requirements. And students who move around during the summer. But I also learned that there are some fabulous resources, and Andrea's mentioned all of them, including the Wisconsin Government Accountability website, where you can go to find out if you're registered to vote and where you're registered to vote. But the last thing I learned is that while some people try very hard to vote and aren't able to vote, there are other people who are totally able to vote and don't bother. And so I've gotten a really interesting insight on our sort of current American culture, at least in the northern Wisconsin area, and it's really been an important thing. And sometimes there have been a couple of times where I did have to drop a word in the chief of elections' ear, and somebody who was about to go home and not come back because she couldn't afford the gas and didn't have the right IDs was directed to walk across the room to her old polling place, and she was able to vote. And that's a, you know, that's a big satisfaction to be able to see something like that happen.
Oh, that's good. And are you going to do it this this November again, Jane?
Yes, I have. I've signed up, and I've asked to be assigned to a place where I don't think poll watchers have been for the last couple of elections, unless they were partisan poll watchers. So we'll see what happens. But yes, I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much, Jane. Talk, Andrea, a little bit about why having a nonpartisan observer is important at the poll place.
Well, and that Jane brought up a lot of really good points. It's because there is no outcome in, or we have no stake in the outcome of the election, and therefore we can watch the process without, you know, without a chip on our shoulder, and what we're really looking for. What the league's position is all about: free and fair and accessible elections. And so we really focus on that. We don't come in armed with a list of people. It's great to go in armed with a list of people, as the parties do, and if you're going to use that to help get out the vote. Sometimes by the end, you know, near the end of the day, people haven't come in and they know that they're good supporters. They'll call those folks and get them out to vote. Other groups come in with lists of people that they suspect, who they suspect are not eligible to vote. Those lists are, and they come in expecting to find a problem, and the whole idea is to try to challenge those voters. The problem is that often those lists they're pulled together from multiple sources, and they often have a lot of inaccuracies. And that's a whole different point of view. Something that Jane pointed out is that many of our election observers, we get all kinds of emails after the election where they say, you know, this was really a great experience, that I never knew really what happens at the polls. I go in, I vote, I leave. It's remarkable to see how the election officials at the polls, by and large, almost all of them are very professional and very committed to helping people exercise their right to vote.
Yeah. I read that observers observed other things, like lack of parking in some at some polling places. I think it was in Milwaukee where that happened to come from. Did anything change between recall election and the November election to make sure that people might have adequate parking?
Well, I know that the Milwaukee Election Commission has worked with the league since then, and I think they're trying to address a lot of those problems. There were polling places statewide that either had inadequate parking or their parking was really pretty far away from the polls. Polling places by law have to be accessible for people in wheelchairs. But there's accessible and there's accessible, and some of them weren't very accessible. So that was an issue. Some of them had our observers found that they had touchscreen machines that people can use if they're, you know, that anybody may use. But for some people, that's all they can use. But they were set up in a way that you couldn't vote privately. That's a problem. And that's the kind of thing that we've shared with election observers. Yeah. Election officials.
Emma in Madison is with us. Hi, Emma.
Yes, hello. I also have been observing polls for a few years. And I would like to encourage anyone who would like to sign up to work at the polls, because they are understaffed. They don't have enough people. I observed in Milwaukee, and the polling place already was two people short before the training for the election. Two people who came to the training never showed up, so they were four people short, which was substantial when people were trying to register and to vote. And I myself never knew how understaffed or how, there's such a need for people to be working at the polling places. And I second the fact that the people who work there work really hard. And there is a lot of responsibility.
Thank you very much, Emma. Comment, Andrea?
Emma has that right. Our election day workforce, we need more people. The laws have become more confusing. We have new technologies. We have there are new procedures at the polls, such as signing the poll book, which slows everything down. We desperately need new poll workers.
Well,
everywhere.
So we will. We have just a minute or so to go. I did want to touch base with you on election law just for this minute. You can vote at a Wisconsin polling place in November without showing a photo ID.
That's correct. You can. You do not need to show a photo ID to cast a vote if you are a registered voter. If you are not registered, you may register at the polls on election day, or you can still register in your clerk's office. You will have to show a proof of residence. You'll also have to provide some kind of identifying number, like a driver's license, photo ID, Wisconsin ID, last four digits of your social security number.
And the proof of residence is like a utility bill or something along those lines.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So if people are interested in signing up for election observers, once again?
League of Women Voters of Wisconsin website, lwvwi.org.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Amanda Magnus, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this program. Thank you for listening. And by the way, thank you so much to all of you who contributed during our fall membership drive, which wrapped up on Saturday night. More than 9,000 listeners pledged, and we're pleased to welcome 2,100 listeners as new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. You donated $980,000 to fund WPR and the programs that you depend on. Thank you so much for your support. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network.